morning, saints. It's a huge privilege to be back here with you again. I just want to reflect back with a big thank you from our side. For the last 5 years, Boca Raton has been journeying with us with the work in Africa. Excuse me. And every year you have supported us with more than $50,000. And I just want to give you a short report of last year, what happened in Africa. As Larry has said, we have handed on the baton 22 years ago when Karen and I started the work. It was just the two of us. And then God grew the work, and last year we were 800 missionaries in Africa, working in 14 countries. About 2,000 people, mostly from within Africa, came on short-term outreaches. God is doing something new in Africa. The Africans are no longer looking outside the country for help. They have said, let's roll up our sleeves. God has given us the responsibility for this continent. Yes, we cannot do it by ourselves. We need the help of all those around the world. In Africa this last year, they sent out 111 African missionaries from Africa. They also had more than 50 different training programs for people that want to involve in missions and in discipleship. And this is the major part that Boca Raton is playing, is that they have helped us with developing 60 leaders in Africa. That is a strategy that God has given your church, and it bears immense fruit in Africa. These 60 leaders, the vision we have in Africa is that we want to see 350 of the most least rich communities worship God. And at the moment, we are working on 180 of the 350 goal. We still have a number of years ahead to fulfill that. But you as a church is making it possible for us to get to these least rich. People that have never heard before. Amongst these least rich, we do it in many different ways. But we normally focus first of all, because when you go to these communities, you will find there is no education, there is no health, there is no business, etc., etc. Abuse of women and children, and so on. So we also start schools then, and we are running 22 schools in the area with more than 1,000 children that we then also feed at the same time. Last year we also had a number of catastrophes in Africa, floods, but huge drought as well. And through these leaders that you have been able to support, we've been able to help thousands of these. One woman in a Muslim village came to us and she said to us, you know, the imam, he sits in town. He has his house. Mine was taken away by the flood. Nobody came and even asked me how we are doing. But you, followers of Jesus, you came. You prayed for us. You rebuilt my house. You gave my children food. Can you introduce me to this God that you are following? Just want to say thank you to you. I want to read with you from Matthew 21. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to a Christian, please. Matthew 21. The story is about Jesus 1 week away from being crucified, entering Jerusalem. And the theme, sorry, I didn't follow the theme on the program. The Lord has need of you. Can you just say that to your neighbor, please? Tip him on the shoulder and say, the Lord has need of you. That is our story today. The Lord has need of you. I cannot comprehend it. I cannot put it together. I cannot understand it. That a great, awesome, almighty, sovereign God would limit himself to work through you and me. Mind-blowing, staggering. That is the difference between being powerful and being omnipotent. When you are powerful, you put many rules and regulations in place and then you control the people. If you are omnipotent, you give everybody their own free will and they choose to follow you. Isn't that amazing? It's only God that can do that. Let me read the story. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, And at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Lord Jesus, these words will remain on the paper, and our desire is that you will come and write them on our hearts today, please. But Lord, we can prepare all we like. We can organize as much as we like. But unless you come and honor us with your presence, we can't do that. And that is our cry today. Come and meet with us, each one, where we are at, please. But will you also, in that meeting process, transform us, please. Help us to see us the way you see us. And help us to respond the way you see us. Thank you, Father. Amen. I just want to journey with you through this chapter, just one verse at a time. Because each verse just points to this one theme: the Lord has need of you. In verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. Jesus is in the sending business because his Father is in the sending business. When Jesus came, he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. It's interesting, not just here, a few chapters further on, he sent Peter and John to go and prepare the Last Supper. In Luke 11, he says, he sent the 72 out, two by two, to the towns and the villages that he was about to visit. Jesus does not have part-time workers. Jesus does not have part-time disciples. If you chose Jesus, if you have made a decision to follow him, you have said to him in the same breath, Lord, here am I, send me. Sent is not linked to a few people that's going out and we call them missionaries. If you are his disciple, you are sent. The question and the big question that we all wrestle with then is, but the where and the how and to whom and the what. And that wrestle stays with us. Karen and I went through the same wrestling before we came here. 18 months ago, we felt it was time to pass on the work in Africa to the next generation, the younger generation. New dreams, new visions, exciting. But then we had to come back to this point again and say, Lord, where are you sending us? John and Bill, your pastor of BRC, see, asked us about 18 months ago, when you pass on the baton, will you consider journeying with us for 1 year? And we said, wow, it will be an incredible honor. But we had to go back to Jesus and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? At the end of the day, it's about you. It's you that I need to face one day. It's you that I need to give account of one day. Before I need to give account of one day. What will I say? When we were little children, we sang this song and we were just 5 or 6 years old. in a similar thing that we call Sunday school in Africa. They say, must I go with empty hands? Must I meet my Savior like that? Not one soul to present at his feet, not one soul to offer to my King. I said to him, Lord, I have one life to live. You've designed it. You have fearfully put me together in my mother's womb. I don't want to miss it, God. Saints, God needs you, and he needs to send you. You are a designer article. No one else like you. The second thing that he said, and this is for me so powerful, he said, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them. Thanks to Home Depot, I found a string last night. There are two kinds of tied up people here today. Some of the people that are tied up completely. What do I mean by that? You've never met Jesus. You are on your way to hell. You're lost. You are tied up, wrapped up in your sins. And I beg you, I plead with you today. Do not leave this place tied up, wrapped up like this. Today is another opportunity for you to become his disciple. But then there is a second group of people today that's also tied up. If the sound goes, you know why. We are believers, disciples, but we are tied up. We are not free. We can't follow him. He can send us, but we can't move. Give me some examples. What ties us up as believers? What causes us not to be free? Fear. Tremendous. So many different aspects of fear. Fear of failure. Fear of the future. Fear of provision. Go through all of them. Daily I have to fight them. These fears. What are some of the other?
Controlling.
I want to be in control. We call it the unholy trinity. I, me, and myself sit on the throne. Tied up. You can't move. You're not free. What else?
Pride.
Very much tied to the unholy trinity. I, me, and myself. I'm on the throne. Worship me. What else?
Anxiety.
350 plus scriptures, one for every day of the year, address the whole area of fear, anxiety. What else?
Comfort.
Powerful. I cannot be sent by God because, oh, my comfort. Oh, I will be too hot. Oh, it will be too cold. Whatever the reason may be. What else? Say that in English. I need help. Just say it again.
People.
People. Awesome. We are going to come back to that. People. So critical. But I'll come back to that a little bit later. Just hold on to that. Tremendous. Can I mention another one to you? There are so many. I don't want to take the whole morning just rattling off a list.
Self-pity.
Huge.
Huge.
And then money. But not money. Money is neutral. It is the love of money. Let's put it in a different way. Greed. That spells it better out. The whole spirit of wanting more and more and more and more because I want more. I need it. Not because I want more so that I can bless the nations, so that I can get to the unreached. This last week, one of my American friends said to me, do you know that we are spending more? Let me get this right. On suits for our pets for Halloween. than what we are spending on reaching the least reached with the gospel. Staggering. Spending more on the suits our pets wear for Halloween than those that have never heard about Jesus. Staggering. I want to pause here for a moment. Just close your eyes, please. If you could identify this morning with one of these areas of being tied up, tied down, not being free, and you have a desire to say to God, Lord, in the first one, I'm so tied up in my sin, in my past, in my lostness. I need you, Lord. I don't want to leave from this place not knowing you, not walking with you. And the second group, if you are tied up with fear or with what people say or think of you, selfishness, control, self-pity, greed. And you just want to pray a simple prayer and say, God, I want to get rid of this. I don't want to be a chicken running around on the ground where you've designed me to be an eagle, to fly, to soar, to be sent by you. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Just if you want to pray a prayer of saying, Lord, I want to cast off this string around my neck that is keeping me back. Just raise your hand, please. Thank you. You may take it down. Lord, with my brothers and sisters, I stand before you. First of all, to ask for forgiveness. You've come to set us free, the captives. And now we've entered into that bondage again. Lord, we are sorry. Lord, forgive us, please. Like this donkey, Lord, and the fowl, will you not untie us today again, that we can go and serve the Master? Lord, we are trapped. Forgive us for our comfort, our laziness, and the 50 other things that is tying us down. Lord, we want to soar again. We want to mount up like eagles. We want to run and not grow weary. As your prophet Isaiah said, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 3. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. If anyone says anything to you, you know, this is the very next step that happens. The moment you cast off this tie-down strap around your neck, you will have 50 people telling you not to do it. Why? Because they are uncomfortable. This world still needs to see what God can do through one man or one woman totally committed to him. The moment you want to step out and say, Lord, I want to move out of my comfort zone into your zone, the back talk is incredible. I remember when God said to me 40 years ago, leave your country, go to the nations. Oh, my parents are committed believers. The Christians were the biggest problem. Not the unbelievers. They said, yeah, you just want to go and run around the world. You are irresponsible. Where will you find money? Where will you find a wife? And 50 other reasons. You can't imagine the excuses people think of. Powerful. Please do not go back. Please bless them. Please pray for them. Please thank them. You can just simply say, you know, I don't have the answers. I will come back to you. And then go to God and say, Lord, these people are complaining bitterly. What shall I say to them? He will answer you. He will show you. But please don't listen. Please don't go back to the bondage because of that. Verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Can I ask you a personal question today? You are following Jesus. You are his servant. And we've said, we've made it out, you are sent. There is no part-time followers. It's full-time or nothing. In Amos, and the reason I remember this chapter so well is because I failed at the university. Amos 3, verse 7. He comes with five examples. He says, will two people walk together without agreeing? Will a lion roar without eating something? Will a bird fall into a trap without somebody setting it? Five times the answer is no. And then in verse 7, God says, God will do nothing without first talking to his prophets. Isn't that amazing? God committed himself to do nothing without first talking to his people about it. Verse 4. God is in need of you. God wants to make known to you what is on his heart. He wants to share with you his plans. How will you know what is on God's heart? Unless you are going to take the time and spend time with him. Unless you're going to humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to be part of what you are doing. Lord, please talk to me. He talks to us through his word, through our friends, through the Holy Spirit. He says you will hear a voice behind you tell you, go right, go left. He is so eager, so desperate to talk to you. He has committed himself to do nothing without first talking to us. Isn't that amazing? Verse 5, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is in contrast, the same week. In other words, today, Sunday, this was the day that he entered, it was a Sunday that he entered Jerusalem on a foal. That very same week, Pontius Pilate also entered Jerusalem. But the contrast is so incredible. Pontius Pilate came from Rome, horses, chariots, big entourage. And Jesus, he is so different. That's all I want to say to you. The way he works is so different. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Please don't compare him with the ways of this world. It doesn't match. It doesn't line up. And this is what he's saying here again. Here the king of all kings come without an entourage on a donkey. And the one that they called the governor, he comes with a big entourage. Jesus said to him, you know what? When he was before him, you will have no power unless it came from God. Verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. What a powerful verse. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. Saints, God has need of you. But he has need of you to do what he asked you to do. Let me give you an example. 5 years ago, within the organization we are working with, we had a big challenge. I was serving at that stage as the, I think what you call it here in the States, as associate international director, associate international president. We were two associates and we had an international leader. And there was a conflict between the international leader and the other associates. And so the international director asked me, will you please come and resolve this? It was no Mickey Mouse small conflict. The conflict was so big that it would split the work of OM in two. We were 6,000 people in the organization. 3,000 would leave the organization, working in India. I just said, Lord, this is too big for me. I can't handle this. So I took 40 days, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I fasted. And during that time, I felt the Lord gave me a good answer. He said to me, and I spoke to others as well, this is my doing. In other words, I'm in this split because the work in India has grown so beautifully, so big, that it became a national church. And the national church was wanting to leave the national mission organization. Glorious. Well, not everybody agreed with that. And the big mistake was I didn't agree with that. I just said, Lord, how is it possible under my watch that this organization can split in two? While God has so clearly said, this is my doing. So instead of me falling in line with what God was doing, listening to him, I decided to go the other way. No, Lord, I will keep this outfit together. Disastrous. I cannot begin to tell you the pain and agony I caused in the lives of people. Why? I didn't do what he asked me to do. I thought I'm clever. I thought, how on my watch can a whole organization split in two? Disastrous. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Saints, God has need of you, but he has need that you follow him and do what he's asking us to do. Verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. These disciples love Jesus. But I want you to also just think 5 days ahead of these same disciples. One betrayed him. One denied him. And the night they came to arrest him, the other 10 ran away. It's easy to follow Jesus when things are going well. It's a different story when there is illness, when there is disaster, when there is death. What am I trying to say to you? Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is an act of your will. You choose to love. Find so many couples that split up and the first excuse is, we don't love each other anymore. You choose to love. Then the feeling may come after that. It's the same in your relationship with God. You choose to love God. It's not an emotion that you are waiting for. Your life will go like this if you are just being led by your emotions. It's an act of your will. These disciples put their clothes on the donkey. In verse 8, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread it on the road. And this is coming back to your comment. One of the things that ties us down is the crowds, what the crowds are saying, what the crowds are thinking. Saints, we are here for the audience of one, the King of Kings, not the crowds. 5 days later, the same crowd shouted, crucify him, crucify him. The same crowd that shouted, Hosanna, turned the other way, just like that, in 5 days. Don't follow the crowds. Follow Jesus. Verse 9, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. None of the crowds came and said, oh, what a beautiful donkey. Oh, isn't his ears cute? Oh, look at his tail. No mention of the donkey. Why? It's about the king. It's not about the donkey. We are just mere messengers of the Most High God. Let us not rob him of any of his honor. He said, I will share my honor with no man. The Lord comes and he says, I have need of you. I have need of you to take me to Jerusalem. That is where he was going as a disciple. I have need of you to take me to the next town where I want to work, the next person I want to work in. You are his messenger, the one that carries the great I am, the king. But the glory goes to him, not to the donkey. Oh, nice donkey. Verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Can I ask you this question this morning? Can you answer for me this question? Just close your eyes for a moment, please. Who is this? By this answer, your whole life stands or falls. Who
is this? Who is this Jesus for you? Is he a prophet? Is he a religious person? Who is this? Who is this? You need to answer that question. Because on that question's answer rests your life. Rests the way you will respond to him. Who is this? You can open your eyes. Can I ask you a question? What does the government of Florida ask you? To commit yourselves to the laws of the state or to submit yourselves to the laws of the state? Is there a difference? What are they asking you? What are they expecting from you? To commit or to submit? Submit. Huge difference. Commit means we are on the same level. I can withdraw my commitment if I don't like it anymore. They're not asking you to commit because they know you will break your commitment. You will apply it as you like it. And submit, total different story. It says, I put myself under. It's very interesting. Nowhere in Scripture are we asked to commit ourselves to Jesus. Nowhere. The only way commitment is used is to commit adultery, commit fornication, commit sexual sins. Jesus, what he is asking us is to submit. A world of a difference. We are not on the same level. He says, if you want to be my disciple, come and submit. It's a similar word that he used in marriage as well. For you to make your marriage work, there needs to be submission. Jesus is asking, who is this? In other words, who am I to you? Are you just coming with commitment? It will last a little bit. And when you are fed up, it's going to go apart. And you will go back to being ensnared again, being trapped again. I want to close with verse 11. The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is Jesus. God wants to enter lives, homes, nations, the least reached. He's desperate. Because he has chosen to use you. God needs you, Boca Raton Community Church. You have done amazingly. The latest statistic shows us that we are losing the battle to reach the least reached by 57,000 people a day. Can I say that again? 57,000 people every day goes to eternity without God. 20 million, almost 21 million per year. Why? 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 Because we as believers do not understand. God needs you. He wants to work through you. The person behind you at the traffic light, hooting, honking, I don't know what you call it here, pushing your buttons. Why do they do that? Because God needs somebody to pray for them and he's trying to get your attention. So what do? You'd strip yourself, get angry, frustrated, mad. Start talking sign language to the person. Don't go there. God needs you. He wants to work in that person's life. So that's why he's honking. He needs prayer. Those in authority, pray for them. I'm not asking you to like or dislike your leaders. God is asking you to pray for them. Don't wander behind your emotions. Wander behind God's word. Let's pray for the leaders of this nation. Let's pray for the leaders of the world, the nations. Let's roll out the red carpet so that God can work. He sent his disciples to the places he wants to visit. Secondly, in this coming week, first one, can I ask you to pray? Ask God, Lord, make me so sensitive for your Holy Spirit that when you lay somebody's name on my heart, I will pray for them. I will not argue with you or get fed up or frustrated or angry. It doesn't matter in which way you get my attention. I will pray for them. Because prayer is rolling out the red carpet for the king. The second one, Lord, will you help me in this week to live in such a way that I, when I rub shoulders with anybody else, they will say, wow, who is this? This is Jesus from Nazareth. That they will see, feel, and experience the living God in your life. They will feel that love. They will not just see hurry. One of the brilliant authors, Henry Nouwen, worked at Yale University as a professor. He felt God said to him, I want you to go and work in this home for disabled, challenged children. So this professor moves into this home with children. He said it transformed my whole life just to see God through different lenses. He says, I love these children so much. He says, a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy businessman one day came to me and he said to me, my life is falling apart. My wife has left me. I make millions of dollars, but I'm so unhappy. I'm burning out. What can I do? He said to him, come, let me and the children pray for you and we will hear what God says. This very rich man thought, well, I've lost everything. I can just as well go there as well. So he came there and the children were sitting around on the floor. He was sitting in a chair there. And they started praying for this man. And for about 15 minutes they prayed and then there was silence for about another 15 minutes. And then one of the children that moves very, very difficult, takes about 5 minutes to approach this businessman. And he put his hand on his head. He said to him, too busy. And he turned around and he walked back. And he sat down. And again, half an hour silence. The same boy stood up again and he made his way back to this man. Put his hand on his head again. He said to him, why too busy? Why too busy? He transformed that man's entire life. Can I ask you the same question today? Why and what are you running after? If it is Jesus, let's follow him. Let's pray together.